But what a beautiful backdrop at the watering hole at Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. Rich Jones, Christine Bellino, Benjamin Fritkus. Not a bad feeling start to the day with the sun rising. We can see that over there. And in the next 15, 20 minutes, start to feel the warm glow. That might help to warm us up a little bit.
That would be really nice. But I'm still enjoying it here so much. It's so picturesque and beautiful. And the people are really great. So.
Yeah, everyone has been so great and accommodating throughout this journey here at Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. And there's a lot of reasons why we're here. First is, what a great jewel that we have in our own community. It's spooktacular, which is great. It's another night tonight and tomorrow and into Sunday as well in advance of Halloween and some of the upcoming events, including November 8th, which is another great event and a huge fundraiser here at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens. Grab your tickets to that. It's an adult only, so make sure you know that as you do it. But also visiting with the horticulture team and learning more about the gardens, which is that first impression that you get when you're here at the Jacksonville Zoo. One of the things that we love, and we had an experience, I think Curtis and I were talking about it last time he was in, Christine. We were out on a boat, and we were in Black Creek, and we were at one of those like tree swing places, and my kids were in the water, and all of a sudden they felt something. And all of a sudden we saw this like black thing rise from the surface, and it was a manatee. And I'm like, what do we do? Well, first of all, don't turn the engine back on, number one. That's the most important thing. But it was so cool, and the manatee was so sweet. And Ashley Nelson is the senior manatee care specialist. I hope we handled it the right way by just kind of letting it be, getting out of its way, and eventually it wandered away. Is that the right way to handle it if we're out on the water?
Yes, you handled it perfectly. We just want to let the manatee be able to do what's naturally and not disrupt any of their behaviors that they do in the wild.
It was so nice. That was a cool thing about it. Like, we were a little bit worried, like, what's going to happen right now? We've heard about manatees, but we've never actually encountered one in that way.
Yeah, they're so calm and peaceful to see out in the wild. So truly amazing to have them here in Florida and to be able to rehab them here at our zoo.
So what happens here, and what is your role in all of that?
So here at the zoo, we rescue, rehab, and release manatees back into the wild. So that's always the goal with our critical center. We currently don't have any long-term care or permanent care for them here if they can't be released. So we're strictly critical care. My role is the senior manatee care specialist. So I'm in charge of helping with the feeding and observations and assisting our vet team with medical care of the manatees, along with my other staff.
What kind of injuries do manatees sustain, and are they usually injuries that can be prevented?
We are able to help with a lot of injuries, excuse me. So we see a lot of boat strike. That's the biggest reason they come in. Or cold stress. That's when manatees get trapped in cold water. It's kind of similar to frostbite in humans. So it can be really bad for them if they stay in that water. So we have to move them to warmer waters. We also see things like entanglement of fishing line, buoys, crab traps, and sometimes they're affected by red tide. That's more common out in our Gulf Coast. So a lot of different reasons, but we're able to assist them with care for a lot of those, thankfully.
Rich brought up a really good point. They are so cute and friendly, but you're never supposed to touch a manatee, right, in the water?
Correct. It is illegal to feed, give water to, or touch manatees, anything that disrupts their natural behavior. So you just want to observe from a distance and appreciate their beauty.
Is that because they will grow accustomed to that?
Yes. So they can grow accustomed to humans. That puts them in line of boat traffic by approaching those docks and boats, and that could be really dangerous for them. And it also prevents them from migrating to those warmer waters during the winter, which they need to do to survive.
So recently I went to Merritt Island and we went on a kayaking thing to see the manatees. And one of the things that they told us was that manatees have no natural predators. And I said, how is that possible? Because they're so nice and they're so sweet and they're not like vicious. So they said, you know, the biggest predator is man, obviously, because we're hitting them with boat strikes and things. So they explained something to me about the way a manatee reacts to an alligator, which I thought was so amazing, because you think a manatee is a big blubberous thing. I'm making up words, but it's not blubber. It's muscle, right?
Correct. Yeah, they are skin, muscle, and a little bit of fat, but no blubber. So that's, again, why they have to go to those warmer waters, because they don't have the ability to regulate their temperature or any blubber to keep them warm.
So the reason they have no natural predators is because they dissuade the natural predators with the swoosh of their tail, and it's a very muscular tail. Is that Like, why does an alligator not attack a manatee on a regular basis?
I am actually not sure on that question. We would have to understand their evolution and relationship with species a little bit better on why, over time, they never had any predators. But I do know that it's not because they're completely, you know, unappealing to animals or right. anything like that. But they do say that's why they're able to be so slow moving, because except for us, they don't have too many cares out there.
Just hanging out in the water, chilling.
Yeah. Are they in the Trout River even, too?
Yes, they do come into our Trout River during the warmer months. They'll leave, probably around November, December is when you might stop seeing them as much around okay,
so
here.
So when they're treated here, do you release them here? What is that process like?
We release manatees as close to where we rescued them as possible. So we will drive to all different parts of Florida and up into Georgia to release them as close as we can to where we rescued them. If they are an orphan, though, we will release them in the winter time in a spring so they can kind of become accustomed to those migratory routes and feeding routes and hang out with other manatees.
And how far do they go?
Yeah.
They will travel all over, so they can go up the East Coast here. I've heard as far up as Massachusetts, over to Texas. They go down into the Caribbean, so they have a good range around here. That's just for our Florida manatee anyways.
When it comes to their feeding, what is it they're eating when they're out in the river, and how is their food situation here in Florida and Jacksonville?
They are herbivores, so they're going to eat all different types of plant matter, vegetation in the water, algae, even low-hanging branches from trees in the water. They occasionally eat things like mollusks and stuff, but that's accidental when they're grazing on rocks. So definitely all plants for the most part. Here in Florida, we are kind of recovering from a unusual mortality event that started in 2020 where we had that die-off of seagrass. But we are making efforts to help that seagrass come back, and we're hopefully going to continue to see some recovery from that.
Are there things that we can do to help those efforts?
The best thing that you can assist with right now is to volunteer or provide donations to any of those facilities that are trying to help manatees in the wild. So we have our Marine Mammal Rescue and Rehabilitation Partnership that you can look up online, and you can see all of those facilities that are associated with it. And any of those will be able to provide you with better information on how to help and get involved.
Is there a typical manatee patient that you have? Do you normally see younger manatees, older manatees, or does it just really run the gamut?
Here at our facility, our most common would be the cold stress, since we're the farthest north of all of the critical care facilities. So our busiest time of year is during those winter months when we can get manatees from the Carolinas and Georgia at our facility that get stuck up in that cold water.
So if someone is out boating and they see a manatee that looks like it's in distress, do they call you? Do they call Fish and Wildlife? How does that happen?
They would call FWC. We are very lucky to have the Northeast Field Station here on site with us at Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens, so we do get involved with them as much as we can. But for those that see a manatee in distress or that they might have concerns about, they're going to call FWC's hotline. That's 1-888-FWCC. So they'll be able to assist you, and they'll ask questions and come out and check at that manatee.
Curtis, what do you want to mention? Well, he's a wildlife wanderer, by the way, or the sloth this morning. It kind of depends.
Little known fact, you can look it up on YouTube, the first human to swim in the Manatee Critical Care Center when it first opened in 2017. I was in a silver spandex manatee outfit. You can see it on YouTube.
Were you testing it?
Testing it. I was working for First Coast News, and I did a story on the opening of this Manatee Critical Care Center here because it was a huge addition to the state's work on saving the manatees. Before then, you only had Orlando, Tampa, and Miami, and it was really tough. We find one up here. It had to be trucked all the way down there, which is stressful to the animal. But something I wanted to point out, since you brought up the when you see a manatee, we had a sad case of one we had rescued, and she was found, and she passed away, and somebody had cut off her tracker. So when you see a manatee, you'll see the floating, and Ashley can explain it better, but the tracker they put on them just so they can make sure that one they've rescued and see, make sure they're getting back to the warm water. We discovered that somebody, we don't know why or who, but they have the tracker and it floats. It has like a little bobber that kind of floats behind them, and yes, I can understand how somebody might see it and think, oh, they're caught in a fishing line or
right.
something. But it's not a fishing line. And so when that
what
tracker
does that
gets
look like?
Cut off.
So that's going to be a around the smallest portion of their tail. It's a belt, as we call it, but it's releasable if they get tangled. And then that's going to be attached to a cable that has a buoy that floats up at the surface when they're closer to the surface.
Okay, so it's not like a crab pot buoy or anything.
No.
So
no.
If you see it right by a manatee, don't do anything to it. I'm glad you described it that way, because we see those in the St. John's River all the time, and you'll see them in the rivers, those little crab pot buoys.
Yeah.
But if you see one around a manatee, don't do anything.
Correct. Unless you think that manatee's in distress. You can even call that hotline, though, and they like to know the location of those manatees. So that's something you can do as kind of like a citizen science thing, though, as well. Okay. But they are clearly labeled and they have tape on them. So they're pretty obvious compared to a crab trap.
So someone had cut off her.
Sadly, yeah, that's what we discovered, is that and the sad part of that is, had they not cut that off, we would have seen that she was in a place she shouldn't be, and could have gone out and gotten her back to warmer water. And so it's just one of those things. We know sometimes people are trying to help and they think, but as Ashley said, call FWC when you see them, if you think anything, because they will give you all of the correct actions to take.
Among the awesome and exciting things here at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens is the Wayne and Dolores Barr Weaver Manatee River Habitat and Vistar Skyscape entrance. That's a mouthful, but that is under construction. Where's that process right now?
We are scheduled to open in 2026, so
awesome.
We are working very hard at that. Our construction crews are doing an awesome job, and it's really coming together. So you can see it when you're in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and we have the roof over our medical pools going too, so you can see where those manatee pools are going to begin.
It is so cool and exciting to see what is still to come. It is growth, and we already have more than 100 acres available to us. And again, it's us. It's a we. It's an our community. And we're all in it together, and we can all support it as well by becoming members, donating, attending events, perhaps the November 8th event. What's the name of the event again?
Toast Conservation.
All right. Look forward to that. And you can find more at jacksonvillezoo.org. Ashley Nelson, Senior Manatee Care Specialist, thank you for what you do in our community, and thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.